Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Pastor Ike was just talking about that. They said unto his disciples, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. So he's out there ministering and traveling. You can see in verse 35, went about all the cities and villages, traveling ministry, reaching as many people as he could. And he's seeing the great need, and his compassion moves him to ask that the disciples pray about this need for more laborers. Amen. How many of you know what you start praying about, God turns around and says, how about you? So they started praying for laborers. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 10. How many of you know Matthew didn't write this in chapter and verse? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Luke's account said also authority. To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then he names the disciples in verses 2 through 4. And verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any of the cities of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Later, Paul was commissioned to do that, but just wasn't time yet for that. And he said, verse 6, go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach. So he sent them to preach. He sent them out and commanded them to preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. So he sent them out to preach and to heal. And cleanse the lepers. That's healing. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. So he's talking about setting people free from all sorts of bondage. He gave them power to do that. He gave them authority to do that. So they went to preach, and he empowered them to do signs and wonders to confirm the message they preached. Jesus is the same today. He's still sending people out with a message and with an anointing to confirm the message. He said, go do this. I send you in verse 5. He commanded them, send them out. Go, he said, and to preach and so forth. Heal the sick, cast out devils. Freely you have received, verse 8, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor yet or hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, to be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of judgment than for that city. And he said, I send you forth as in the midst of wolves, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you unto the councils and so forth. Talking about, you know, pressing charges and all the kinds of stuff. How many of you know verse number 19, deliver you up and so forth. Talks about the persecution that they will encounter and so forth and so on. And then he said, he encouraged them. He said some things to them about verse number 29. Two sparrows sold for a farthing. Not one of them shall fall to the ground without your father. Very your hair of your head are all number. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of much more value than many sparrows. In other words, I'm going to take care of you regardless of what comes. And then he gets down to verse number 40. He that receives you, there's a whole lot we're skipping for time, but he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. In other words, he's the one sending them. He's the one that charged them and sent them to go preach. And so when those that they go to preach to receive them, they're receiving Jesus. And Jesus said, he that receives me receives him that sent me. Jesus was sent by the Father. So he's talking about receiving him, receiving the Father. Then he said in verse 41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Yes. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, he that receives, let's read verse 42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. In other words, because they belong to me. Right. They're my people. They're my disciples. Yes. He said, verily I say unto you, he shall nowise lose his reward. Well, you can see the context of that. We read verse 40 through 42, sometimes just without the whole context. But reading the context, you can see primarily what he's talking about is ministers, how we treat ministers. Amen. And so, because they're not doing their own thing. You know, we're not talking about people that decide to go into the ministry and just do their, you know, they're promoting themselves. We're talking about people that were sent by God, called by God, anointed by God. Most of them, it wasn't their choice to go. You know, they had other plans. I know for myself, I had other plans. Amen. I never liked the way men's clothes fit. I figured I could make them myself. I'll do that. Later, I wanted to be a landscaper. Then I wanted to be a computer programmer. I never wanted to preach. But I couldn't get away from what he said to me when I was 10 years old. Go tell my people I'm coming soon. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. Amen. Amen. I had some plans even during, before the ministry. Let me make a whole bunch of, a lot of young preachers do this. Let me make a whole bunch of money and then I'll have all the money to do all that. And he said, no.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's what he told him here. He said, don't take the time. Notice verse number, back there in chapter number 10, verse number 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, his food. So he's sending them out to do to as workmen. He said, they're working for me. They're doing the works of Jesus. I'm the one sending you. There's a job to be done. There's a gospel to be preached. There's people to reach. There's people to set free. And he said, you're working for me. And you're worthy as a workman for the message that I am sending you to preach. You're worthy of those that receive the message taking care of you and providing all those things that you need to finish your course. Verse number 9 is not, you know, people read that, you know, talking about preachers, God sending out preachers. He said, don't provide, you know, gold, silver. That's you know, take money for the expenses. You understand? Nor brass for your purses. That's talking about money for expenses. Nor script for your journey. In other words, we got an itinerary here. Here's where we're going to stay. We're gonna land in this city and get a hotel here and so forth and so on. He's not saying it's wrong to do that. He's saying, notice the word, provide. Look at verse 9. The first word, provide.
Yes, sir,
provide. Provide. Provide none of these things. In other words, if you look up the word provide, the word provide in the Greek literally means to acquire, obtain, to get. In other words, by means of working a job to get it. He's saying it's not their job to go out and work a job to get the money to travel and preach. Yeah, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want them taking the time to do that. The devil gets people off. They say, well, I'll do all that and then I'll go into the ministry. Listen, the devil will make sure you never go into the ministry. You just got to go. Amen. So he's talking about this. And this really, people read verse number 9. And they think that Jesus, in verse number 9 here, is preaching against preacher's prosperity. That's not the point. The point is not, he's not preaching against preachers, preacher. He's not preaching against preachers having anything. We're children of God just like everybody else. We're redeemed from poverty just like everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. People talk about a vow of poverty. There's no such thing in the Bible. No such critter. No such animal. No such verse.
None. Amen. That's right.
It is not. That's not what he's saying here. He's talking about preachers are not to take all the time to get money. That he's basically saying, I'm planning on taking care of you.
Yes.
Because notice what he said, don't provide all those things because the workman is worthy of his meat, or we would say his hire.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you still out there?
Yes.
So what he's saying is, I will provide for all of that because there's a supply on the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel has its own supply.
Yes.
Those who preach the gospel live of the gospel. Paul said that very clearly. 1 Corinthians 9. What was it? I'd have it written here somewhere. But those that preach the gospel live of the gospel. Do you remember that verse? Say it out loud. That's the scriptures. That's the word of God. Isn't that God's plan? See, that's God's plan for ministry, to support the ministry, to supply the ministry.
Yes.
And so what we see here from these passages then is that he supplied, he's planning on providing the things, the material things that the ministry needs. And that the people preaching the ministry need. How many of you know preachers have families too? They got kids. They need a house. They need, you know, rent. They need, you know, house payment. They need stuff. They need car. They need transport. They need stuff too. Plus they need, the ministry has needs.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So he's saying here, they that preach the gospel live of the gospel. Paul put it in those terms, but he's saying, that's what he's saying here. Now, Romans 15:29 says, Paul said this, he said, I'm sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
If you'll hang on with me tonight, we'll get to something here. He said, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing. What is that blessing? That's Abraham's blessing.
Yeah.
Preachers have Abraham's blessing just like everybody else has Abraham's blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
It just comes in a different way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now you go to 3 John chapter number 2. We read there where it talks about, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in health. But you got to keep on reading there and read who he's talking to.
Yes,
he's talking to, let's go there real quickly. Don't take much time because that'd take away from my preaching time. But he said there, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly, verse 3. Keep on reading, you'll get a lot more understanding. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came testify to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. How do you know you're walking in the truth here, Gaius? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Here's how you can tell he's walking in the truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have both borne witness of thy charity. That's love. Before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well.
Yeah.
Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. What on earth is he talking about? John is talking about traveling preachers who had come back to him saying, boy, down there in where Gaius is pastor. They take good care of traveling preachers.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. In other words, they give liberally to the gospel. He said, you do faithful. Let's read verse 5 with that in mind, now understanding what he's talking about. You do faithful whatever you do to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy love before the church. In other words, they came back and told our whole church. For whom if thou bring forward on their journey. See, they were on a journey. They were traveling preachers.
Right.
After a godly sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say godly sort.
Godly sort.
That's what he's talking about over there in Matthew. He talked about doing it in a worthy manner.
Right. Yeah.
In other words, worthy of the message and of the transformational power in that gospel that they're carrying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. The Amplified says, in a way worthy of God's service.
Yeah.
There's a way, a right way to treat preachers and a wrong way to treat preachers. Any minister, anybody, traveling preacher, pastors, anybody.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Even disciples, even other believers.
Yes, sir.
So I've just been stirred up about this. God's been really talking to me about this. And I've only gone out. Last Sunday we talked about, not this past Sunday, but the previous was a Sunday. We talked about, right after we got back to camp, we talked about honor. There's a place called there, a place God connects you in the body of Christ, and that's where you sow, and that's where you receive what God's doing.
Amen.
We talked, so we're going to pick up on some of that tonight. But then verse 7 here in the, it says in verse number 7 here in 3 John, for their name's sake, for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Taking nothing of the Gentiles means they aren't out there working a job, pulling money out of the world system.
Right.
Amen. The laity do that, but the fivefold ministry called to the fivefold ministry to preach and teach, they're not called to be out there working a job to pay for their expenses.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
When preachers come through here, we take care of their expenses. We pay their airfare. We pay their hotel. We pay their food. We pay rental car if they want a rental car. We pay everything. Why should they have to work to pay that? It's not right. They that preach the gospel live of the gospel. So he's talking about they didn't take anything from the Gentiles. Verse number 8 says we ought to receive such that we be fellow helpers to the truth. So when he says fellow helpers to the truth, the Amplified says support such people to welcome and provide for them. Fellow helpers means partners. And that's what he's telling us to do. We are to be partners with what God's doing. You see, we're not really fulfilling God's plan. See, we're called to the Great Commission. We all have received the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, Cedar Rapids is part of the world. Plus, we're going way beyond that here. Amen. Preaching, teaching. God's given us a message. God's given us an assignment. He's given us an anointing. He's given us a commission. Whenever he called me, Pastor Debbie has a similar testimony. When he called me, go tell my people I'm coming soon. He didn't say sit, work a job, and on the side. He said go. So I got busy. Went to Bible school and got with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now go back here to Matthew chapter number 10. Again, we were reading that whole passage. There's a lot here. We looked at verse number 9, provide. It's important that you understand the emphasis is on provide. He's not talking about, you know, don't have anything. He's saying it don't take the time to provide that. Because you can see in verse 10, he's planning on meeting those needs. Paul said, when I come, I quoted to you Matthew 15:29. When I come, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing. What is that? That's Abraham's blessing. I'm not going to come poor, broke. I'm going to come with supply because my supply, my God supplies all my need. Amen. So really it's what Dr. Summerall said. He said it this way. He said every revival funds itself. Really, every church has a funding. Everything God's doing has a funding. The message he's having us preach has a funding. When Jesus traveled in the 8th chapter of Luke, you see it all. You see that. You see it real clear in the 8th chapter of Luke. The first three verses, the Bible said Jesus went from city to city, Luke 8:1-3, and he said certain women and others which had evil spirits cast. And I always thought Mary, because it mentions Mary Magdalene first, and out of whom went seven devils. It says there plainly that seven devils went out of Mary Magdalene. And if you read closely, she was very close in the inner circle of the disciples. She hung close. But and it said, and others. But it said, certain women out of whom went evil spirits. In other words, Mary Magdalene wasn't the only one that was delivered from evil spirits. Luke 8:1-3, you look at it there. Certain women, in other words, all these ladies had devils cast out. Jesus had ministered to them and set them free from satanic bondage. And notice what it said, and many others, it said, which ministered unto him of their substance. See, Jesus is operating in the way the New Testament is set up. Paul said, they that preach the gospel live of the gospel. Pastor, we know all that. Well, but let me just lay the foundation to get to something here. Hallelujah. Really, when he's basically saying what Dr. Summerall said in another way, every revival has a funding. It funds itself. Everything God's doing. You ever notice when people get out of the cutting edge of what God's doing, the church dries up, the people dry up, the anointing dries up, the funds dry up. They you know, like certain, you go through many towns today, and the big buildings that used to be where the gospel was preached in power and demonstration, with many people being born again, now they're taken over by a hotel or a bar in there or something like that, because those churches dried up. They didn't keep moving with what God's doing and what God's saying.
Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. God's moving. And everywhere he's moving, there's a funding attached to that. Hallelujah. And so really God has obligated himself to supply the needs of what he's doing. He has a kingdom divided against himself if he doesn't fund what he's doing. If he expects it to be broke, expects it not to have anything, he's got a kingdom divided against himself. You think Jesus has a kingdom divided against himself? No. He's got a funding. Just like Jesus had a funding following him. You and I that preach the gospel, we have a funding following us. And he's obligated himself. Listen very carefully. that to be fully supplied, to fully supply all those who make themselves a channel of that funding. He's obligated himself that they themselves get funded. So we all have the Great Commission, which is go, but not all of us are going to go all over the world and travel. But we all have that Great Commission. So we're either going to have to go or we're going to have help somebody else go.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Somebody said, I don't want to go. Well, then you don't, you know, if God hasn't called you, don't feel so bad about it. But yet, right on the other hand, be a part of funding those who are going.
Amen.
Because we all have received the Great Commission. Hallelujah. And then, of course, go into your own little world, wherever that may be. If it's down at the job, wherever it is, go with the message of the gospel. Amen. And so God's obligated himself. I said he's obligated himself to fully supply those who make themselves a channel of the funding. He's obligated that they get funded. And he's obligated that the anointing on the ministries that get fun, that he is having us fund, he's obligated that himself, that anointing gets on us too.
Amen.
And any man God has sent, there is an anointing on them to defend them, protect them, deliver them from wicked and unreasonable men. There's an anointing on them to get them out of anything Satan tries to put him in.
That's right.
And there's an anointing on them to confirm the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
Anybody God sent, there's an anointing on them to confirm. They might not yield to it, but it's there.
Amen.
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 And that same anointing will get on those who fund. God will defend them. He will deliver them. He will confirm that they are sowing into the right places by multiplying their seed. Paul said, the grace that's on me gets on you, my partners, in Philippians chapter number 1. He said, and the same anointing that defends and confirms the gospel, he said, it the grace, you're partakers of that grace.
Amen.
Woo. I mean, the anointing that shook that jail and got him out of jail.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
That's on partners.
Yeah.
To get them out of whatever hole the devil's trying to put them in. It's called the honor reward system. You honor what God's doing in the earth, you supply it, sow into it, and there's a reward that goes along with it. What's the reward? The anointing on them gets on you. Whatever they need to bust them out of what's trying to stop the gospel will get on you to bust you out of whatever you need to get out of in your own life. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. I'll be honest with you. People sometimes, they get a little bit of an insight what's happening in Pastor Debbie and I's life, and they're not too sure what's going on. I'll just tell you what's going on. Most of what you see in our life is the prophet's reward system.
Amen.
Most of it is prophet's reward system.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's because we understand what we're preaching. Amen. And the Lord said, you need to share this more with your people because there's more I want to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a supply. There's an anointing to destroy yokes and break through power from God. Put on those he's called to preach the gospel to get them out of whatever opposes what they're preaching. They threw Paul in jail. Power busted him out. They stoned Paul to kill him, and the power raised him from the dead. Amen. He said, I prayed the Lord would take this thing away from me 3 times. It keeps opposing the gospel. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ might rest on me. In other words, everything the devil throws at me, the power busts off of me. It's not about Paul personally. It's about the message that he's preaching. Satan's trying to stop the message. But the anointing will bust him out of everything. And did. It busted him out of everything. And that same anointing is available to those that partner with him. Praise God. It's the honor reward system. Hallelujah. Now, back in Matthew 10:9, I got a lot to cover. This verse is talking about, the emphasis is on provide. Amen. You can see that clearly from the next verse. He's planning on providing those needs. He didn't want them to take the time to do all that.
Right.
Hallelujah. And he's preaching to them from this verse that the disciples, he's giving them instructions that they're to learn. He's teaching them that they're to learn that he's their source. Amen. Can you say amen? It's clear that he was planning on taking care of them because he said so in verse number 10. And he's learning them to make God their source. He's learning them. Hallelujah. Now he's sending them out to do his work, not their own work. They're working for him. And he's planning on providing for them their every need. Hallelujah. Now, look here in Luke. Well, stay here in Matthew 10, verse 11. Into whatsoever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. That's an interesting verse. I don't know if you can handle it tonight or not, but I'm keeping my ride ready, and then I'll be right after this, I'll be out. Inquire who is worthy. That's an interesting. In other words, worthy, you can see from the end of the verse, and there abide, worthy to be your host is what he's talking about. Now, what does worthy mean? Can we wade out into this and see if it's actually true?
Come on.
Worthy literally means in the Greek, good enough.
Amen.
That's literally what it means, good enough.
Good enough.
Is this a good enough place?
All right.
For a man with a heavenly message to be kept, to be lodged.
That's good.
Woo! That's what it means. I mean, look it up. It means good enough.
Yes, sir.
Actually, it means influential. In other words, he's talking about people that have some things. It also means deserving. So this talks about the quality of the place of lodging, the lodging quarters. But I think he's talking about more than that. I think he's talking about the heart of the host, the heart of the person that is the host. In other words, in their heart, the honor is all mine.
Come on, son. Amen.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
In their heart, they see the value or the greatness in the person. Not the person. They're just humans. But the greatness of the importance of the message. The value, what that message will do. This is not of man. This is of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
And so they see the value. They see the treasure in that vessel. They see the worth of the message, the importance that it's preached. And they say, the honor is all mine.
Amen.
You can see the heart in that, can't you? It's a privilege to them. Others don't get this privilege. I get the privilege of hosting such a treasure, such a gift. Amen. See, some people look at the preachers as an inconvenience. People don't want to be bothered by the needs of the ministry. You talk about the church has this, we're paving a parking lot and so forth. We're doing this, we got to do that. And people say, oh, I wish they'd stop talking about that. See, it's an inconvenience. With my life, my needs, my things. Well, they're not preaching back at me over there. Maybe I'll come over here. So, Jesus is saying, go where they see the honor. Go where there's honor. See, there's more to faith, more to receiving from God than faith. Go where there's honor. Go where they'll bless you. Oh, no, that's kind of selfish right there. I don't know. Wait a minute. Just hold your horses and listen. Go where they'll bless you. Where they'll sow. Because they see the honor of doing so. Not go and demand anything. But just look for where the honor is. Why? so that preachers can be bigwigs? No.
No, sir.
Because God wants to do something for them.
Yeah. All right.
Talking about the host. He wants to do something for those that are sowing. And he can't do something for those who don't see the privilege.
That's right.
There's no faith in that. There's no honor in that. And there's no love for God in that.
Yeah.
See, people, they have funny ideas. They say, I love God with all my heart. But they don't love God's messengers. They don't love God's message. They don't love the propagation of it. Their heart is not there. They don't see the honor of helping God do what he's doing.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah, all those preachers want is money. Well, if all I wanted was money, I would not be preaching.
Come on, right? Seriously.
Get that straight. Dear Lord.
Come on, sir. Say it. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. People get squirrely ideas. They don't walk into Walmart and say, just all they want in here is our money.
Come on. Right.
How's come you do it when you go to church?
Come on.
I'll tell you why. There's a devil talking to you. Woo, Pastor, he gets me shucking my corn tonight. You don't walk into Walmart, it just seems like all they want in here is our money. I mean, they won't even let you out the door without paying the bill. We'll let you out the door without paying anything.
Come on.
If you don't see the honor of it, if you don't see the privilege of it,
right.
Blessings come again. We love people, we keep on sowing, keep on giving.
Yes, sir.
We've received freely, so we give freely.
Amen.
Talking about from the Lord. We've received freely from the Lord, so we give freely. And if people don't see the honor of blessing and helping, that, fine. But there'll be no buzzer go off when you go out the door. Security won't come and stop you. Try that at Walmart, where you're not saying all they want is money. And they will stop you and not let you into the parking lot, because all they want is your money. Duh. People get all wadded up about this message, but that's because we need to preach it until we get that out of people. Because that's hindering their prosperity. God doesn't say, look who's worthy to be your host, because he wants the preachers to be bigwigs. He's saying that because he's looking for somebody to bless. He's looking for somebody to bless. Amen. Who, you know, someone who will see the honor of hosting the gospel. The greatness of the privilege.
Hallelujah.
Now look at verse 13. Well, let's read from verse number 11, 12, and 13. We just read 11. Look at verse 12. When he come into the house, salute it. In other words, greet him. And if the house be worthy. Oh, wait a minute. I thought somebody said it was worthy. Look at verse 11. Inquire who in it is worthy. So where's a good place to stay around here? Oh, you're one of those messengers from heaven. You got a message from God. Let's over here's a place, man. They got a place to stay.
Come on.
All right, going over there.
Yeah. All right.
And he said, when you get there, because somebody said it was worthy. He said, verse number 12. Then he said, verse 13, if the house be worthy. Oh, so somebody might have said it was, but it might not be. Oh, how much time do you got tonight? In other words, hallelujah. So when he said, if the house be worthy, that means somebody might have said it was, and maybe even the person that had the property said it was worthy. But it might not be. In other words, people's standards are all different. Oh, Jesus. Can I go ahead and say it? If it be worthy, put your blessing on it. That's what he's basically saying. Let your peace come. I've operated in this some, and I know what he's talking about. There's an anointing comes on you to bless it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I've done it a number of times. I could tell you testimonies, and I don't because I don't want to embarrass people, but I could tell you testimonies where the Spirit of God come on to me. I could look at somebody in the eyes and say, this will happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Talking about a blessing.
Right.
And I'll pronounce it.
Right.
Can't do it all the time. Just do it under the anointing.
Yeah.
And here it comes, there it comes. Just got a testimony the other day about it. Whenever I said it, they kind of went, oh, okay, yeah. It's the prophet's reward system.
Amen, yeah.
You bless that house. Brother Hagin said when he traveled, because back then they went, you know, hotels is doing the same thing. When we put people in hotels, that's doing the same thing what he's talking about here. We're taking care of their needs, doing it nice and, you know. So we're not talking about it has to be a house. Basically, it's talking about letting somebody into your life to partake of your goods.
Yes.
That's what that means. And listen, when somebody comes to stay in your house, you never have a temporary guest in your house that you don't just let them partake of all the goods of the house. The bed, the refrigerator, the food, and all of that. It's just part of being a host. Right? No charge. Just part of being a host. So, here he's saying that if that house be worthy. So, that means pronounce your blessing on it. That means there's a reward you can, the ministers can pronounce a blessing. Now, I've done that a number of times. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It actually operates by special faith.
Amen.
If I could get into it, it's amazing. I've seen it operate in Dr. Dufresne over and over and over again. That's part of what we're walking in. We still are walking in the reward of receiving Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm telling you, it'll take you way beyond your faith.
I'm just telling you.
And I've done that a number of times. But then there's been a number of times whenever somebody decided they didn't want to continue to stay associated with us. Connected with us and sowing into our lives, honor in many ways, not just finances, but many ways. And I didn't think anything about it. Says, Lord, well, it's their decision. You know, how many of you know this is not something that's demanded? It's something that somebody has in their heart.
That's right. Amen.
I was just like, well, Lord, you know, bless them. So, because I love people, I want to see them blessed. And the Lord said twice, I've had this happen to me twice. He said, call your peace back to you. I was like, what do you mean, call your peace back to you? See, he took me to this verse.
Yeah.
And I was under command of heaven to do it.
Yeah.
I says, Lord, what's going to happen to them? He said, call it back.
Yeah.
And so twice. I've never had him say it, but twice.
Yeah.
Call it back.
Yeah.
And whenever I've done that, something has gone squirrely in their lives. You say, are you the only one? No, there's all ministers have this.
Yes, sir. Come on.
See, we're talking about how Jesus ministers to us through his word, through the Bible. We can just stand on the word and use our faith and receive from God. And he also ministers to us through ministers.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I want all that God has for me, so I'm receiving everything.
Yes.
Amen. And those that God said to me, you're connected here. Here's where your connection is. That's where I put the honor that they are due on them. Because I want everything God has for me. People think it's all whatever, hero worship or whatever they think. I don't know what people think. But get your mind renewed because this will greatly bless you.
Amen.
Amen. So, if that house is worthy, let your peace come back. That means the host may think that they are worthy, but the host doesn't get to decide who is worthy. They don't get to decide who is worthy. The guest does.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, now that's getting wrong. Wait. You heard me wrong. I didn't say the man. I meant Jesus.
Yeah, that's so good.
He's the guest.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell I finally got bold and popped the clutch? He's the guest.
That's right.
He's the guest. Jesus said, they receive you, they receive me. So Jesus walks in and he looks around. He checks the person's heart. Woo! So that means what we call honor might not be honor at all. Do you know that a man that has lived with turkeys all his life doesn't know he's acting like a turkey. What? What are you talking about? I'm talking about what I'm preaching right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In Jesus' own hometown in Nazareth, there was no honor there. And because they lived in that atmosphere all the time, the anointing wouldn't flow in the whole town. Jesus had to take people outside of that town to get the anointing to flow. There was an atmosphere there of people living in dishonor for Jesus. And because they lived there, they didn't realize how low of a standard they were living in. They didn't know they were living with honor turkeys. Well, we're just like everybody else. Everybody else thinks he's just human making all this stuff up about the Spirit of the Lord's on me, and, you know. And come on now. Yeah, and you're living with a bunch of people that are turkeys. So the standard is not what other people think. It's what Jesus says. It's what the guest thinks.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. Amen.
So they might think they're worthy, but they might not be. They might think they're being honorable, but they might not be. Somebody said, well, this is a matter of faith in my heart. And yes, it is. We understand that. But it's also a matter of honor. And we'll just go ahead and say it. It's a matter of finances. You can't be honorable and not finance what God, what's blessing your life. Well, I don't honor any man. I just honor God. Yeah, and you don't know your Bible. You cannot honor God without honoring people he sends. Can't do it. Ask God to help you think right about the people God sends into your lives. The devil's going to oppose you more in those relationships than any other relationship. Amen.
Amen.
They are a door into more for you.
Amen.
Yeah. I popped the clutch. We're just going now. There, this is what the Lord said. You haven't been bold enough. You haven't been talking about honor enough. You don't want people to think wrong about what you're saying and so forth and so on. And so I've just backed off. I haven't talked about some of these things for years here. But I get, the Lord dealt with me. So, it's a matter of doing it the way the Bible says to do it. And I've discovered when God makes a connection with me in the body of Christ, like he's made with us, with Pastor Nancy, of course, Dr. Dufresne, but he went on to heaven, but those that God's connected me to. Whenever God did that, that was a door into more. More in the ministry, more favor, more blessing, more anointing, more revelation, more my voice going further, Pastor Debbie's voice going further. It's a door into more. That's what God connects. Doors are opportunities into more. But we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, what is it, verse number, there close to the end of the chapter, that by doors are adversaries.
That's right. Amen.
You're going to be opposed in divine connection relationships. The enemy will work on you. He'll bring thoughts. He'll bring all sorts of harassment. He'll bring all sorts of offense and opportunities to misunderstand and all sort of. They're you're going to have more encounters with the enemy concerning divine connections than you ever will natural human relationships.
Amen.
Offense is not a personality conflict. It is a strategy of the enemy. Amen. To separate divine connections. So impartations won't be made. Increase won't come. Are you with me? So you won't get the revelation that you need. The anointing won't flow. And things that God intended be in your life, the enemy wants to break that connection so that they don't ever get into your life. You can fuss about this, you can buck it, you can hiss, you can spit, you can bark like a dog, you can get mad and writhe in the ground like a snake and be upset about it, which I've seen come out of people sometimes, but that doesn't change the truth that it's in the Bible. Amen. So, we can't treat these divine connections. I know Pastor Debbie don't do this, and I don't do this. We don't treat our divine connections like just another person. that we might see on the street. Amen. Because they're not just another person. Well, we're to love everybody. I'm not talking about love. We do love everybody. But not everybody is worthy of the same honor. Because not everybody is a voice into our life. Not everybody has something from God. Never. Not everybody's anointed to help us.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? Somebody's anointed to help you. We thank God for the anointing in our lives individually, but there's an anointing that comes on others to help us. So we've got to honor that and treat it beyond the way we would treat ordinary relationships. Hallelujah. Yeah, they have shortcomings. They're flesh and blood. They're not perfect. They're not a hero. They're not. You know what I'm talking about? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the place God's given them,
Amen.
And we're not talking about their humanity. We're talking, although we ought to love the person too, but we're talking about the anointing. We're talking about receiving from the message that God's given them to preach, and so forth and so on. And there's rewards for that. God never intended for us to sow into these things and never get anything out of it. Remember when Jesus asked Peter to borrow his boat for preaching platform for a while? He said, when he's done, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your net for we'll say it this way, a harvest. In other words, I didn't intend for you to just, you know, use your stuff and then walk off and say, thank you. He said, now there's a reward. Now there's a harvest. All through the Bible. All through the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So a lot of times if we're living in a spiritual atmosphere like in Nazareth, where there's unbelief, dishonor, and offense towards those that God sends, we'll not realize the standard is way lower than what God expects. And we think we're fine because we're like everybody else. But no, the guest gets to determine. And that guest is Jesus. It's His standard that we live by. Amen. The standard of honor we're to live by is not the way we were raised in our house whenever we grew up. Amen. So God's actively looking for partners that are worthy of Him blessing. Hallelujah. Now go to 1 Kings 17. We'll wrap this up. I mean, yeah. We'll start to begin to. 1 Kings 17. Anybody learning anything tonight? This is a bigger issue in most people's lives than most people realize. I know I get challenged to the core about this sometimes. I preach this not for selfish reasons. I preach it and I meditate on it. And now the Lord's instructed me to preach it. To help me. Because if we're not careful, we just sort of fall into the standard of everyone else around us. Okay, 1 Kings 17. Look at verse number 8 and 9. We shared this on Sunday ago, not 10 days ago. 1 Kings 17. Remember Jesus, remember God was taking care of Elijah by the brook Cherith. And He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there in verse number 4. This is 1 Kings 17, 4. I've commanded the ravens to command thee there. Circle there. And of course, you know, then that happened for a while and the brook dried up. And He said, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Circle that word there. Every one of us has a there. There's a place called there for every one of us. Amen. Where God connects us to a divine commission. Say that, a divine commission. If these were just men and women and people and fraudsters and hucksters and people trying to get money out of people, if that's all they were, it would be no problem for us to just tell them who they are. You're a huckster, you're a fraudster.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
But if they're sent from God, now we've got a decision to make. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I remember Brother Keith Moore one time, he made this statement. He got up right in front of Brother Hagin and made this statement to a bunch of preachers who can be some of the most dishonorable people you've ever met. I wish I'd have learned honor earlier in my life. I'd have done some things for Brother Hagin. I just wasn't taught right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy taught me.
Amen.
I had the beginnings of some things,
yes,
but they really taught me honor.
Amen. Praise God.
And it changed my whole life.
Yes,
Pastor Debbie and I's life is totally different. We live totally different than we ever have in our lives.
Yes.
And but Brother Keith Moore got up one time right in front of Brother Hagin in front of a bunch of preachers and said, "You got to decide. Either Brother Hagin is the biggest liar that ever hit this planet, claiming to have all these visions, claiming that God said this, Jesus appeared 8 times, and more than that, really. But either you just got to decide. Either that's true, or he's of God. Decide.
Yeah.
In other words, get off the fence.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, get off the fence.
Get off the fence. Yeah. Either you're in or you're out.
Yes, yeah. You're either in or out. Thank you.
People had to do that in Jesus' day. They had to decide, is this the Messiah? Is he? Now, Brother Hagin wasn't the Messiah. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anybody's equal to Jesus. I'm talking about God, somebody God sent with a message, with something, with an anointing. And he's saying something to the body of Christ through this ministry.
Yes, sir.
Whoever that ministry is.
Yeah.
And we got to decide.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We just have to decide.
Yes, sir.
Rather than get off the fence and I'm not sure, you know. Well, you've been on that fence for 20 years. And how's that working for you? You know what I'm talking about? You just want to say to the body of Christ, how's that working for you?
Amen.
So, wow, this came out bold tonight. Hallelujah. There's more to receiving from God than just faith. We've got to honor the seed of God in the people of God. Amen. And really, to be honest with you, like 2 Kings chapter number 4, remember that lady that built an extra room on her house? We don't have to maybe build a room on her house. Maybe that's not needed even. But we've got to build an honor room. You know what I mean by an honor room? I don't mean something physical. I mean in our heart. We've got to build, so to speak, an honor room in the spirit realm. That is the place that receives that ministry the way God sent it to our lives.
Amen.
With the proper honor that's due to it. You remember that well when she went for 2 Kings 4. She built that extra room. And that when it was for him to stay there whenever he came by. And the Bible said she perceived.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
She perceived.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
She perceived because she herself wasn't so wicked that she didn't know who he was. Can I just share something while we're passing by that? Just came up in my spirit. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Little note here. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 37. Thank God for the word. If you're having faith trouble, let me tell you, examine this area.
Amen.
Examine this area.
Yeah.
Examine two things. Examine your love walk and examine this area. I've found many things come back to these two areas.
Yes,
the faith isn't working. Love walk or this honor issue. But look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse number, just a little nugget there. You can listen if you want. He's talking about people that God raised up, remember the heroes of faith and all these people that Hebrews 11 talks about. He mentions how that the world persecuted them and so forth and so on. Let's just jump in, verse 36. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. By the way, in Luke's account, remember Jesus in Matthew 10 sent out the 12. But then in Luke's account, you read, is it Luke 10 also, I believe? Luke 10, 1 through 10, I believe. Jesus sent them out, same thing, same account, sent them out. Yep. And then they came back and reported all that they had done.
Right.
And Jesus said, come ye yourselves apart out into a desert place and rest a while.
Yeah.
Luke 10:10, is that the right passage? But basically Jesus was saying, is that the right passage? Jesus basically saying, I know how people are. And I know how people treat you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I want to protect your anointing. The anointing I put into you and imparted you, I want to protect that.
Yeah.
So let me pull you aside myself and fund your vacation.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Glory to God.
You read that very closely. Luke 10, 1 through 10.
Yes, sir.
He even mentioned there how people will persecute you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And they came back and reported all that. And he said, let me take you on a trip. Let me bless you. Let me set you aside some time to enjoy, get a break and rest and just fellowship with me. I'll pour into you and build you back up so you can get out there. I know how people are. They're taking stuff out of you. They don't want to say thank you. They come to your meetings and get healed and then they leave and never come back. I know how they are.
Seriously.
And so I'll tell you what, you let me take you on a vacation. I'll fund the whole thing. I'll pay all the expenses. We'll go out there for a week and we'll get on the jet skis and we'll ride and then we'll come in and eat dinner and we'll fellowship and I'll impart into you and give you more revelation and so forth and so on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on.
That's exactly what he did. Boy, you get around people like that, you want to go preach again.
That's right.
Woo! Yeah, come on. Where is that devil? Anyway, I just want. Okay, but see, he's talking here in Hebrews how people didn't treat these people right that God sent. God gave a message. God raised up and so forth. They had trial, verse 36, trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, were tempted with, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins, goatkins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. The world, look at that. The world was not worthy. New English Bible, they were too good for this world. Now here's the one I wanted to get to. Phillips, the world was too evil to recognize their worth. That's the Phillips translation. They were too evil. Notice that. Too evil to recognize God in people. Even some Christians have too much of the world in them to recognize the value of spiritual deposits in men and women of God. Don't wait until they die and go to heaven, and 50 years later people go, oh my goodness, look at these books. We never knew.
Come on, come on, sir.
Come on. Too evil to recognize their worth. This is why some people's lives are all messed up. That's what 1 Corinthians 11, 29 through 30 says whenever it says not discerning the Lord's body. Some are weak and sickly. Isn't that what he said? Not discerning the Lord's body. They don't recognize. They don't perceive. Remember, we're back to that woman. I perceive that this is a holy man of God that's going by. I perceive. And whenever she perceived, she responded and she's provided for his ministry. She started sowing. Here's a place you can stay. I don't know what some people think, but Pastor Debbie and I are going to build a, it was going to be a cabin. Pastor Debbie's making it bigger now. A cabin on our property for Pastor Nancy. That's not necessary. I didn't say it was necessary. See, people that think like that, they don't get it. They don't get it. Well, I'm not going to help with that. Fine, go. Just go enjoy your broke life. I mean, I'm not talking about giving. You have to give to us to be prosperous. You have to sow. You have to have a heart for the gospel somewhere. Amen. Whew, I didn't know it was coming out like this tonight. But this is why some people's finances are all messed up. Their finances are weak and sickly. Amen. Because they don't properly support and honor people God sends to them. They carry a great treasure in them to bless their life, to change their life, to bring a message that will transform. See, transformation comes through the gospel. It comes through the word. It comes through the anointing. Amen. Woo, glory. I haven't preached like this for a long time, and it sure feels good. So, because they don't, God sees them as not worthy or deserving because they didn't see the people that he sent to them as worthy or deserving. Jesus, God said in the Old Testament, they that honor me, I will honor. That's the way it works. Amen. All right. So whenever this here in 2 Kings chapter number, I don't know. Are you in 2 Kings 17? 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. I'm out of time, but let me just say this few things here. 1 Kings 17 is the story where the Bible talks about this widow woman go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Isn't that right? Remember that story? And he said, he went there and found out who it was and said, go get some water. Okay, go get, make me a little cake. She said, I don't have any food. I'm just making for the last meal, actually. And then me and my son are going to eat it and die. And but God had said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. But she didn't seem to recognize it. So it took some help to help get her to recognize that. And then finally she recognized it. And she, if you read the whole story, I'm out of time to read the whole thing. You can see it. They ate for the rest of the famine, which most people say it was over a year and a half, probably a year and a half. Maybe about a year and a half of food. And it kept multiplying. The barrel of meal, it kept saying, the barrel of meal, look at verse number 14. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent rain upon the earth. She did it. And the barrel, verse 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Interesting, isn't it? So, the honor that she sowed into the man of God provided a room for him to operate in the anointing on his life on her behalf. God can provide for, he was providing for Elijah with birds flying in and bringing meat. He can do things in many different ways, but he prefers to use people because that way he can put something on the person that's sowing the seed. He can meet their need, and that need is met, you know, at the same time as the need of the gospel, or in this case, the word of the Lord in that Old Testament day. Amen. Hallelujah. So she basically provided, she honored that office and got the reward out of that office. This is something that pertains to the Spirit. Remember, don't be ignorant of things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. So these things pertain to the Spirit, and we're not to be ignorant of them. So there's a place called there for every one of us. Amen. Praise God. And where is there? It's where the manifestation of the Spirit is. Where is there? It's where the divine connection in the body of Christ is. Amen. We often see people in the Bible receiving through people that are anointed of God. Of course, we can receive directly from the Bible. But I've found that I won't receive everything directly from the Bible. Not because it's not there. It's because that God doesn't work. He won't do everything through only one way. He'll do everything through his whole word. Amen. And that's very scriptural, isn't it? People say, oh, I need is Jesus. Well, to be saved, yeah. But not to get everything God has for you. Amen. So, if you can handle this just a little bit, can you just let me finish this up? Why did God send? Because Jesus said in Luke 4, there were many widows in Israel in the time that this happened. Don't you think God wanted to provide for all of them? He's very merciful, especially to widows. He wanted to provide for all of them. But he said, unto this one was the only one that he was sent to. Why was she sent? Why was he sent there, Elijah? Why was Elijah sent there? Because this woman, you can see by her response, amen, you can see by her response that she would receive what God was wanting to do. Can't you see that? And so she would not get offended. She would put him first, put God first. Amen. Hallelujah. And she would not be offended at the instructions of how to get a miracle. People hear what I'm preaching tonight and they get offended. Well, as kindly as I can say it, you're basically saying I'm unworthy. That's what we're saying. Amen. We're to guard our relationships and fellowship with these divine connections. Amen. I'm not talking about hucksters and so forth and so on. I'm talking about people that Godly sent. I mean, that God genuinely sent. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. She had faith. This is why God sent her. Jesus is in the context saying what he said about unto this woman was the only one that Elijah was sent. That was said in the context of them not receiving Jesus, not being received in his own hometown of Nazareth.
Right.
Remember that? He said no prophets without honor, but in his own country among his own kin. So he's basically saying that Elijah was sent to this woman because she had faith. She had honor, and she wouldn't be offended at God's instructions to her to take a cake of someone, to take a cake to someone else in the middle of her own need. Woo, woo. A lot of people get offended at stuff like that. Preacher takes last cake out of widow woman and baby's mouth. A lie.
Come on, sir. It's a lie.
Read the story. That was not the last cake.
Come on.
That was the first one.
Amen. Amen.
Unbelief says it's the last one. Faith says this is my first one. That's because she had faith that there would be more to come. Woo-hoo, glory. And she would not get offended at the instructions to take care of someone else in the middle of her own need. The man that has the message, the man that God's sending all over Israel to preach. Basically, he's anointed to bring down Baal worship in Israel at the time. That's what Elijah was doing. And that ministry that God raised up to do that, to bring the nation, turn the nation from Baal back to God. Those that supplied it, those that funded it, even in the middle of their own need, they got the reward of that. Whoa! And people can do whatever they want with that, but I've signed up for that. I've signed up for that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because that's where God connects me, and that's where I sow. Isn't that good? She every day. I don't believe this was a one-time bailout thing, where she gave the cake to Elijah the first day. And then from then on, she made her little cake and then gave to Elijah. I believe every day, it's an everyday decision to put God first. Every day she had to get up and not make her own cake. She made Elijah one first. And then that thing, she'd turn around and there's enough for us. See, this is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a life. Faith is a lifestyle. I said it's a lifestyle. Glory be to God. And this statement, I'll close with this. Stand with me if you would. God will send you, if you're called to the ministry, God will send you some unlikely partners. But he doesn't call them because they have anything. He calls them because they have faith.
Yes, sir.
And that's the people he can bless. Amen. It's no use God sending a preacher to people that won't even respond to God. Because God can't do anything for them. Amen. Praise God. Then this statement, this is the foundational truth of Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's writing that to the partners that he said gave once and again unto his necessity. They weren't saying, oh, Paul's so wonderful. No, they're saying this message that has changed our life. We want to help Paul get that to other people. So this is the foundational truth of Philippians 4:19. Because they had sown into his ministry, they had blessings on account with God. And God and Paul could say, I'm speaking over your... he's basically doing what Matthew 10, what Jesus said in Matthew 10, let your peace come. Declare the blessing on that. Declare, pronounce the supply on them. Paul's saying, my God. No, he didn't say your God. He said, my God. My God, the one that's supplying my needs will take care of all your needs according to his riches in glory. Woo, glory be to God. Now, it's up to them whether they receive that or not. I found sometimes you do it by faith. Sometimes you do it under the anointing of special faith. And I get special faith on me. Fire gets in my eyes. And I say, you hear me? That's what's going to happen. Do you hear me? Sometimes they go, okay, yeah. I said, I'm not speaking by a man. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is God's honor reward system. I got it working for me. How about we all get it working for us? Hallelujah. I've been bailed out and busted out and delivered and of all kinds of stuff because I'm tapping into where I'm connected, tapping into where I'm listening to what they're preaching, renewing my mind with it, being a doer of it, helping support that ministry and helping them to go further. This church does that every week. We send a check to Defrain Ministries every week because that's our divine connection. 10% of everything comes in the general fund goes to Defrain Ministries. Well, we don't have enough to do that. I don't say that we don't have enough to do that. I say we can't afford not to do that. Because honor, we can't afford to not be honorable. God's not called us just to be take, 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 take. He's called us to sow into what's blessing our lives. So we're sowing out into the frame ministers every week. Is that true, Teresa? Where's Kimberly? She now, do you get into that part now yet? If you got to say, we do it. We got witnesses here. Pastor's not just, you know, saying all this, you know. We're saying this because this is the way we live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, honey.
Hallelujah. Is Todd and Tracy, is Todd here tonight? Yeah, come on up. Caleb, you come up too. I want you, Hallelujah. All three of you, to come up. Patika, ashon ona aiki, para to ushendede, para ku ushenana, elebrendo. Because you gave of yourselves to help us with our home, we didn't ask you to quit your job. You turned in your notice because your heart was to give to us and bless us and help see us get into our dream home. And you gave of yourselves and you gave of yourselves and you gave of yourselves. And now the Lord's saying you haven't had enough return from what you gave. And he had dealt with others to give of their time. Now, we didn't agree on everything, and you had to get some things right in honor, didn't you? Yes, but you made it right. So believe that you receive a bountiful harvest, because that home is a refuge for us. And certainly I came on others, but they did not receive like you did, and you gave to the prophet of God, and you gave to his wife, and because of that, you are blessed. Yes. You are blessed.
Blessed.
You are blessed.
Blessed. The desire of your heart. The desire of your heart. In the name of
because
Jesus.
We sit in that home and we say, oh God, this is such a blessing.
Yes.
And it's helping us now to even give more of ourselves and our time.
Yes.
And it ministers to our spirits. And yes, others help too. And you receive from that blessing.
Thank
if you
Father.
Helped, you receive.
Thank
and any,
you,
even in helps ministry, those of you have given into our lives and helped, even in this church, it ministers to us as it ministers to the Lord. Amen. It
Thank
ministers
you,
to the
Jesus.
Lord and it ministers to us. So be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Yes.
Be blessed.
Yes. Yes.
Be blessed. Be blessed.
Yes.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Now, if you just receive that in the congregation and even on live stream,
Thank
receive
you,
it. Be blessed.
Yes.
Because
Hallelujah.
You've given into our lives.
Thank you,
and
Father.
Therefore, the blessing is on you. Because
Hallelujah.
You've
Come
given
here,
into
Pastor,
our I... lives, the blessing is on you.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Be blessed. Thank you, Father.
So there's more. There's more. There's more whites. There's more.
Yes.
There's more. So take hold of that
Hallelujah.
Because God wants to see you blessed because of what you have done for us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You gave of your time, your finances, your harvest, and now the harvest is rich for you in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Blessed Praise to God. Prosper. blessed to prosper.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus. And there Hallelujah. Are things that you would not have been able to go into unless you would have followed that. And now you're able to go into it.
Thank you, Lord.
But Amen. Be careful, because there is a narrow passage there, and you've got to keep your mind right, renewed, and the heart has got to stay right.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
To go Thank through you, that small passageway.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were paid. The way she said that sounded like we didn't pay them. They were paid. We paid them, I think, pretty good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the pay they got out of it's not the reward.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you're not mad, shout. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Bonnie, Brother Al sowed with a grateful heart into the place we enjoy every week. So be it unto you according to the desire of your heart for your home. In the name of Jesus. Because you can cash in on the reward for what he sowed. And I'm sure he's already up there talking to Jesus about you. Take and say, Lord Jesus, you take care of her.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, we bless her. Bless her. We call that home into her life that she will enjoy. Oh, every time she sits in the house, she'll just say, Father, thank you so much. You're so good to me.
Thank you.
Thank you for her harvest, Father, in the name of Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing what God does for you. That's exciting. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie's calling people up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. Be blessed. Blessed in Jesus' name. All the desire of your heart, Brother Rob, the desire for your businesses or whatever you have in your heart, we add our agreement to that, and we say it'll function fully. Everything he has in his heart, it'll all come to pass. Thank you for all the wisdom. Thank you for all the favor, the open doors, the divine connections, the opportunities. I see something dropping into your life. Somebody else is going to say, I don't want this anymore. Do you want it? And it'll bless your life richly. A business. I believe it's a business. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. We call that in. Angels, go bring that in for them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Be blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every desire of his heart, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I will give of myself for the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
I will give of myself for your word to go forth. I will give of myself.
Thank you, Lord.
For healings. I will give of myself for the anointing to be dispersed.
Yes.
I will give of myself every day.
Hallelujah.
I will lay down my desire, and you will take us all higher. Because we give of ourselves every day.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Ministering to those who are weary. And I see that there are those in this place that have been more concerned about yourself than ministering to others. And we've all been there and we've all done that. So now the Lord says, and I saw this earlier in the service while a pastor was preaching, it's not about you. So be faithful to stop and preach the gospel to those around you. Be faithful to reach out to those. Be faithful to give when God tells you to give, because that's the only way that you're going to get out of the hole that you're in. Be faithful to love people and be compassionate and lay hands on the sick and they will recover, just like the scripture that he started out with. Be faithful and God will bring you out because of what you're doing for others. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad you came tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that it is to our feet and the lamp it is to our path. We thank you, Father, we leave the message in the pulpit. We'll not take it into our minds and think a single thing in our own thoughts. But we'll let this, from what was said tonight, we leave it with you. In the name of Jesus. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for your word, that it never changes. It is working for us. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and thank him tonight. Amen. Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step up your saying, Mason, what the words of your mouth are saying. Be not silent about what God's put in your spirit. Be not passive about declaring it, confessing it, but open your mouth often and open your mouth loud and declare, say, this is what the Lord's going to do. This is what the desire of my heart is. This is what the Lord's direction is for me. And as you say it, it'll set things in motion. Set them in motion. Set them in motion. Set them in motion. Not just the one area that you've spoken much. Yeah, I see that, Lord. He's spoken that one thing much. But now there's some other things he's got to start speaking. Ah, so go. Go, go into all that God has for you, but your words must go there first. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.